Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's a beautiful day out there. Just absolutely gorgeous. Although, I've already screwed up once today. I don't know how your day's going. I've already screwed up once today. Here's a small secret. Sometimes on Tuesdays, fish on Friday on Tuesdays, Charles Fisherman, our man in Washington, D.C., he's a busy man. And occasionally he'll say, can we tape the segment at 8:30? Right?
He's on Eastern time. So
can we tape the 30 at 8:30 our time, which is 9:30 his time. And he wants to get on with his day. Unlike the rest of us, he prepares for his segment. He doesn't want to hold his life at abeyance.
Which is his first mistake.
The preparing is the first mistake. Not wanting to hold his life in abeyance is the second mistake. But so today was a day when he wanted to tape, and I just completely forgot. So I got a call at 8:40 when we were supposed to have been taping an outraged call. Appropriately, I'll be honest. I just totally blew it. And I do live in some fear of things falling through the cracks. It's why, honestly... I got an email today about a Collierville Rotary Club that I'm speaking to at a luncheon, and I hope you remembered that. And guess what? I had not, but I put it on my calendar. It's been a long time since
I do now.
It's been a long time since I missed one of those. Got a text yesterday. I hope you're willing to talk at our judicial conference. How about that, Jeffrey? That's in early September, and that's on the calendar. But it's one of the reasons why I don't understand, and we may have discussed this, do you keep lists?
So, like, in terms of everyday life, like, if...
Everyday life.
So I don't, like, keep a running list. Now, for the show, I have a Google document, and when I see that, stories
and I guess that's what I don't understand. I literally don't understand how anyone makes it through life without a running list of the things they need to do a list. Now, that's different. There are different kinds of lists. There's grocery lists, right? Things I got to buy. And then I know some people who don't actually keep running lists, but who on a particularly busy day, maybe they're leaving on a trip. They might do the six things today that I have to do. Then they might temporarily do a help me get through the day list. And I totally approve of that. I don't understand how people make it through the world without things falling like a juggler trying to keep six balls in the air if they don't have a list, because I'll be driving along and I'll remember, here's one, I got to get baby aspirin, right? That's a shopping list kind of thing, but or I got to call my insurance guy for whatever. And I'll remember it at one point, but it's not the moment I have to do that. And so I keep a list, and the list is things I have to do basically in the next week. Like, that's on the first part of the list. It's on a yellow pad, of course, right? But yep. If you want to do it digitally, do it. You knock yourself out. And then there's a separate longer-term list. And then there's an aspirational list that at the end, you know, like whatever, do some stuff that I'll probably never get to. Although things can occasionally move up, that move their places up and down on the list. And for me, just making the list
is a task itself.
I absolutely give credit for accomplishing something. Yes. If I make the list, update the list,
first I have thing on the list
something.
Is make the list.
But it all exactly first rule of Fight Club. The act of making the list relaxes me because now I know that even though I haven't done these things, I know there's not a thing out there. Like, it's all there. It's all on the list.
Endless possibilities.
Yeah, it is just, well, it's just, it keeps me, that there's not,
called,
I don't have
Jeff,
to.
It's called making a game plan.
I don't have to walk through life thinking, is there something that I forgot or something that I should be doing or whatever. So I just have to consult the list.
Which is a terribly unsettling feeling.
That's the thing. I don't like that. And list and schedules are different. I keep a digital schedule and I'm a little, the problem is I'm a little hit or miss in checking it. But I just don't get it. Now, the weird thing is that for Claire, she always says a list would be a great thing to do. Great to keep a list. I understand the purpose of a list. And let me just tell you, my God, I wish she kept a list. Because she's always thinking of things that she didn't do. But for her, the act of making the list is anxiety producing.
Sure.
Because I have all these things I have to do. Right?
Yes.
And literally just making the list, I guess it just proves how we're wired as humans. How do you make sure there are things you have, whether it's get a real idea, whatever, that you have to do, that you will ultimately do? How do you guarantee you're not forgetting a million things at any moment?
Obviously, to your question, you kind of have to prioritize. So stuff that's like, hey, I cannot forget this, I just tell Aaliyah, you have to remind me to do this.
Does she keep a list, a physical list?
Aaliyah is wired similarly to your wife in the sense that you would think Aaliyah is a very structured, very
right, I would
organized.
Think she would have a list. But she's so organized, she
correct.
Has an internal list at all times.
Correct. She does not like we don't have a calendar. Like I was kind of stunned. I figured we'd be the big calendar family.
You don't have a calendar.
No, we're not a calendar family, which kind of surprised me. But she, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like,
she's so locked in that she
always
doesn't need the...
Correct.
It's like the quarterback that doesn't need the play sheet on the
exactly.
list. You know?
Russ Wilson. That's offensive if I asked her to put the quarterback down.
I just don't get it.
Which
now,
I told her is like, it's a good
look. On the
schedule
thing, by the way, I do wonder, I don't know if you're going to have more kids, but if you have more kids and then they get into more activities... I'm curious whether you're going to be able to live life without a schedule. I used to in the summers, three kids, and this idea, summer used to be, for I don't know if it was for you, but it was certainly for me, summer was this time when you woke up and you ride your bike around the village, or you went down to the creek and you knocked around and you played and whatever else. And you played, I mean, I played kick the can, for God's sakes. That's how old I am. So, like, but now it is.
Which ironically is what you do a lot in your life. Now, just right. Down the road.
Now yeah. It is, summer is highly structured activity for all your children. Because you need someone to be watching
sure.
all your children. And so this kid's in tennis, this kid's in art,
yep.
this kid's in cheerleading, this kid has whatever else. And there's all, and I literally have to keep a spreadsheet of who's doing what. In the summer, even if it's this is these next 2 weeks, Lexi's going to be taking whatever else.
Yeah.
But literally, I don't understand how you get through life at that point without a schedule. We'll see.
Yeah, I think
see how that works.
I mean, like even my mom used to always like put the calendar in, you know, a lot of
what
fringe. You're talking about kind of depends on. We had a cork board. A lot of it kind of depends on what age. So like obviously when I was younger and we weren't in like fully competitive sports in the summer, it was a lot of riding the bike around the neighborhood.
But later on, it was sports camps and sports camps. Yeah, whatever else. Anyway, I've already screwed up. So I hope you haven't screwed up whatever you're up to today. I have already screwed up. We'll be doing Fish on Friday on Tuesday live, which we typically do. But today on
just
the radio
like Charles
show,
Hero, Bill O'Reilly.
We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. And he has promised, by the way, for those of you who are concerned about this or getting a little weary of it, a tariff-free Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It is a tariff-free Fish on Friday. We have suspended the tariffs for this week, at least this week only. So he is promising
10% flat.
I think there's some tariff. Pope talk. But I don't think there's
hot Pope talk,
any tariff talk. So there you go. That's the
from our Jewish and Presbyterian community.
That's the lineup. Mm-hmm. We're not. That's it. You want to hear deeply informed Pope talk from your
two Presbyterians
Jewish
and a
Presbyterian exactly talk show. So on to sports. That was unexpected. You got 360 win teams in the NBA this year. All three are down 0-1. The road teams now in the NBA playoffs are up 3-0, and we got the Warriors and T-Wolves tonight. Shocking and wildly entertaining games last night. Jeffrey, were you locked in?
I was locked in. Also, the hockey looked like it wasn't going to be good, and then it kind of got good.
Kind of good as the Panthers made a game of it. And honestly, the Maple Leafs winning is itself kind of interesting,
sure,
like beating the Panthers, because they have been so.
It's like if the Yankees were snake bit.
It's a little bit like this. It's a little bit like the Red Sox. They didn't win. They just haven't won in forever since the 60s, I think. Punch Imlach was there.
Who's counting?
Who's counting? So maybe, who knows, this is the year that the Leafs we'll go right up the top. We also had the NHL draft lottery last night, and my Sabres screwed again. Sabres have had the number one pick twice. They have two number one picks on their roster, but and people don't, not that anyone cares, they've never moved up in the lottery. Like when they were number
when they
one, picks,
one, it's because
they were the worst team.
Yeah.
And then another year when they were one, and Connor McDavid was the best player,
they got two.
They dropped. Last night they freaking dropped. Is ridiculous. They dropped from 7-9. 7-9. And that means two really teams with really long odds jumped over them.
Well,
right?
And, right, correct me if I'm wrong, one of the teams would have jumped higher, but they set a cap.
But they can only move 10. In the NHL, you can only jump 10 spots, Utah. So, I was enraged by that. But the basketball was absolutely magnificent. We'll take them in order.
All right.
Knicks trailed by 20, and it felt like that's how it's going to go, right?
Yeah. I think in the third quarter, everyone's like, well, this is
we've seen
expected.
This during the regular season. This is not a fair fight. And then the Knicks, scrappy Knicks, clawed back into it. And the Celtics missed a whole lot of three-pointers. They took a million of them, and they missed three-quarters of a million of them. And the Knicks came back, nearly won it in regulation, then do win it in overtime. Jalen Brunson with 29. The story there, and I think we want to analyze how seriously do we take this, right? Like, what does this say about what we think about the series? And the story of this game, more than anything, was the Celtics took 60 threes. In the third quarter, the Celtics took 20 shots. 19 of them were from three.
My dad texted me last night after the game, and he's like, I was listening. Did I hear they took 60 threes and missed 45?
They took 60 threes.
Yes, you did.
And they missed 45. They hit 25%. 15 of 60. The Knicks took basically half as many threes. They took 31 threes to 60 for the Celtics.
37.
And they made 17. They made more threes than the Celtics. They had 17. The Celtics had 15. The Celtics shot 25% from three. The Knicks shot 46 from three. And that was that. Although I do think, and listen, it's how the Celtics win, and it's how, let's be honest, you and I both believe they will win.
Yeah.
Right? Don't you?
Yes.
This has not changed anything.
No, to me, this is, now, the one thing that would have changed, but it has nothing to do with the shooting, is health. Kristaps goes out. Now, they said it was an illness.
Right.
So, okay, like, maybe monitoring that. But this, to me, reeked of, like, when the Heat last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago. No, I think it was last year.
When
he got... They got, like, they shot, like, 24 threes, and, like, they set, like, a record for threes made, and Boston missed a ton of threes. Like, Boston's turned basketball into a math problem. And if they make their threes, you're not going to beat them, and if they miss their threes, you have a chance.
The thing is that, and normally, like, okay, this is what the Celtics do, and they will make their threes. And they missed a lot of open threes, but they also, and I do think this was part of it.
Oh, they were uncomfortable.
Like, Tatum, they were uncomfortable. And then Tatum in particular, down the stretch,
looked very uncomfortable.
He took a couple of really difficult threes. Like, fine, if you're getting and taking open threes, but down the stretch, there were at least two threes where he's taking step back threes. And you're like, really? Is that the point of the enterprise here? And so I do think you have to, credit the Knicks for that. And you have to, honestly, I question Tatum a little bit for his shot selection down the stretch. And then Mikal Bridges wasn't prolific. Only 8 points, 3 of 13 shooting.
I'll say this, though. I don't know what the stat line read, but you couldn't miss him.
No. That's what I'm saying. He had an impact on that game. Obviously made a big three in OT, and then he freaking steals the ball. Like,
just took it away.
Just took it away from Jaylen Brown. It once again, we see the inbounds pass.
Yep.
The difficulty of the inbounds pass. And so the Knicks, listen, I want the Knicks to win just because I'm always for the underdog. Period. That's it. I'm basically almost always for the underdog. I would love it if this means we're going to have a compelling series. And I don't think the Celtics are particularly fun or compelling. Do you?
Well, it's what I've talked about. Like, they've turned it into just a math problem where it's like just it's shoot nothing but threes and like layups and dunks. They basically play the same way that Alabama basketball plays.
Right. So, but I don't think, I mean, it's certainly more intriguing now that the Knicks have taken game one.
Oh, I mean, I think most of it, like you said, in the third quarter, when they're up 20, you're just thinking like, well, I hope the Cavs can get it together and that we can maybe eventually in the Eastern Conference Finals have a good series. But, I mean, yeah, I'm much more open to the idea.
Yeah, much more open to the idea, much more intriguing. Good for the Knicks for at least making this interesting, for coming back from down 20, from forcing OT, from winning, and from all of a sudden making us all pay attention. So there was that one. The bigger shocker, and there's been a series of shockers. I certainly didn't expect Indiana to do what they did to Cleveland. Now, Darius Garland was
out. I was going to say, when you add a little context, it makes it a little different.
Still, didn't expect that. I think that's the one of these three where you're saying, whoa, this could turn out differently.
Sure.
Like, that's, I'm now taking this threat very seriously, particularly because of the injury.
Also, Indiana shot the ball really well from three. Like, you know, but I definitely agree. Of the ones where you felt like, oh, I might think this other team could win, that's the one that felt the most likely.
And
but maybe that says something about Cleveland.
And the Knicks, the least of them, right?
Yes, totally.
The Knicks is the one we don't really take that seriously.
Yeah.
Sure, we're slightly more intrigued. We don't really take it seriously. But how about the Denver Nuggets on 2 days rest? Beating the unbeatable, the juggernaut, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, I'll tell you, I struggled with this. And I struggled with it because, on the one hand, the Grizzlies look better if the Thunder rolls, right? The Grizzlies
look better. Absolutely.
Part of the defense of the Grizzlies, their sweep, from them losing by 51, for them blowing a 29-point lead, part of the defense for the Memphis Grizzlies was, what the hell do you expect? This is one of the all-time great teams. No one can stand in front of them and their relentless defense. You see the defenders that they have at every single position. This is something that the NBA hasn't seen, man. If you look at the way that they've beaten teams all year long, all that's happening to the Grizzlies is, well, what happened to any team?
Yep.
That's sort of the defense. Oh, my God. Yeah, sure, criticize the Grizzlies all you want, but you have to understand, this Oklahoma City team is different. And I like that argument, and I want the Grizzlies to look better by implication. And I also think that, I do think that broadly speaking, people have kind of overreacted and to the Grizzlies' struggles and have decided they're just not a good team and whatever else. And so I there's a part of me that wanted and wants Oklahoma City to roll because it makes the Grizzlies look a little better. Looks a little their embarrassing sweep look a little better because Oklahoma City's doing this to everybody. On the other hand, I hate them. And so I'll confess that as I was watching this unfold, my dislike of Oklahoma City and their privilege is what I'm going to call it. The privilege of their fans, right?
Sure.
Having this roster after having already had the Durant, Westbrook, Harden roster. I'm like, screw them in their matching t-shirts, right? And so as it was happening, my distaste for Oklahoma City overwhelmed my desire to see the Grizzlies look better by comparison. And I found myself rooting for the Denver Nuggets. How about you?
It was such a weird game because I am wired. The team that beats me, that's who I want to go on to win.
Okay. And there is internal logic to that. We want them to win. Makes us look better by comparison.
I've also thought Oklahoma City looks like the best team. And so part of it is, okay.
Wanting to be right.
I don't even have the most intense desire to be right, contrary to
popular. You didn't have a wager on this, which
correct.
Would rule all.
Exactly.
Right. We wouldn't even be talking about feelings if this was
exactly.
about
no, we,
money.
Listen,
right.
We'd be having a very different conversation. But I do find myself in the side of, I think Jokic is somehow, like everyone says, like, oh, he's the best player in the world. But I still think he's underappreciated.
I agree. People say it. Oh, he's the best player in the world. But do they really appreciate it?
No, it's like they say it.
It's a caveat. Well, it's funny. Like, driving in here, and it's a little different, but driving in here, the argument one on Sportsmanlike was about Jordan and LeBron, which fine. I'm not saying Jokic should be in that discussion yet, right?
No way.
It was about Jordan and LeBron, but then it was about Steph. And the argument was that Steph is closer to LeBron than LeBron is to Jordan. Okay, that was the
all right.
Evan was making that argument.
That's the thesis,
which, by the way, is proves you're in summer.
Yes.
Like if the
100 gorillas freaking, 100 gorillas versus a person
yeah,
proved us
by the way, the 100 gorillas versus one person who would win. Gabe asked me about that yesterday and I was last week and I was really pleased with myself that I'd never heard of it.
I'm like, proud of you
that I'd missed it altogether. It literally, that argument made the New York Times this Sunday.
Mm.
They had a columnist
for them too.
They had an expert on each take each side of that in the New York Times. But anyway, so, but my point is that obviously Steph has multiple titles and Jokic doesn't. And so maybe it's not time.
But let's
be honest. Jokic is as good and as dominant relative to the rest of the league as Steph ever was.
Yes. When you were talking yesterday about when we were discussing with Tuomas and whether or not he's finished, does that impact? Where I think it definitely applies is to Jokic. I think there's this thought of, like, it's just this fat European, like, he's kind of like a gimmick. And it's like, no, this guy is incredible.
I mean, Shea was great last night. 33, 10, 8 assists. He played 40 minutes. He had one turnover. Like he was great. Shea was great last night. But he wasn't 42, 22, and 6. I mean, 42 points, 22 rebounds, 6 assists. And listen, Denver wasn't in the same position. They never trailed by 20.
Yeah.
But
they were trailing for most of the game.
They were trailing for most of the game by double digits, a good portion of it. And you could have easily seen them do what Golden State did.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just say, the hell with this.
We'll get them in game two.
We're playing on short rest. Let's not do this. Let's get them in game two. And to their credit, they did not. It comes down to Chet Holmgren missing those free throws. And by the way, if you look at what made the difference, that's certainly one of the things that made the difference. Oklahoma City was only 20 of 28 from the line, including those missed free throws with 9 seconds left. Then how about Russell Westbrook not forcing the shot himself, going cross court to Aaron Gordon for the three-pointer and all those people in T-shirts? It was a beautiful silence that settled over that place. All those people in T-shirts as Aaron Gordon knocks down the three. That was fabulous.
It was, I think the, I always just laugh, like whenever you like watch youth basketball or high school basketball, when you can clearly hear the coaches, that was the single biggest example I can think of at the NBA level of, no, 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 way to hit. Because there was 5 seconds left and he still could have kind of gone to the hole and taken the lead.
Yeah, it was a wide open freaking shot.
It was wide open. It was definitely, hey, I'm open. I'm letting it rip. But
yeah, one of your best players, 22 points, 14 rebounds for Aaron Gordon. And it was interesting, though. And it did, listen, the Grizzlies don't have Jokic, right?
Sure.
And it's not their fault that they don't have him. They couldn't have gotten him. He wasn't available to trade deadline, whatever. They can't get Jokic.
Well, they could have drafted him, Jeff.
But they 100% could have drafted him. I didn't see what they did in that draft. It was interesting, though, because the Grizzlies, during their series, were eviscerated on fast break points.
Yep.
Denver had 24 fast break points. Denver had 27 second chance points and 24 fast break points. And to me, as much as anything, that was the difference. And, you know, it is funny. Like, whatever, I'll give up the lottery stuff. Christian Brown was great last night. He's just he is a physical. He didn't shoot that well, but he had a bunch of rebounds.
He had a lot of key rebounds.
Yeah. And you know where he was picked? The 21st pick in the draft. Don't tell me the draft picks don't matter. They absolutely matter, particularly when you're trying to fill in around expensive players. Right?
Well, I mean, okay, Chet was number one, but like most of the guys that are defining the series are significantly
later. Yeah, they're the whole, back when we were discussing, and again, I never argued that the Grizzlies should try to lose the play-in game to Dallas, but I did argue that there is at least a reasonable point of view that they would have been better off losing the playoff game to Dallas. And I talked about that in advance because they would have kept their draft pick and because they would have spared themselves humiliation. And I think in retrospect, Jeffrey, did that Oklahoma City series do this franchise any good?
Not really, other than just everyone kind of...
It demoralized people.
Yeah, well, A, it got everybody scrapping with one another again, and then you had to see Ja get hurt again in horrific fashion.
That series didn't do anyone any good. And... no draft pick.
So SGA was picked 11th, and Jokic was picked 41st. Jalen Williams was what, 7th?
Yeah, he wasn't high lottery. He was a lottery pick. He wasn't high lottery. So that's interesting. I mean, I still think Oklahoma City's going to win.
Yeah, I mean, there is always the question of how much does game one lie? But
this does play into the concern that people have had about Oklahoma City all along, which is, have they done it before? No. Have they proven that they can do it on this stage? No. And then when you get Chet Holmgren stepping to the line and missing two key free throws, does that not fit into the whole narrative?
Okay, I want to go back to the sequence before that. This is where I think they absolutely lost the game. And I've told you, like, I'm not someone that ignores math, ignores analytics, right, and acts like, oh, give me just like, let's do manalytics. I'm not someone that ignores it. But what drives me insane is the fact that when you turn everything into a hand of cards, you are dismissing game flow and game situations. Adelman makes a unbelievably dumb mistake. Jokic has 5 fouls, and you can tell he's very worried about getting the 6th right. foul. He takes him off the floor for a defensive possession where they're likely to foul. What winds up happening, though, is Oklahoma City runs an easy inbounds play, and SGA winds up with a dunk. They do not have a timeout. There's 12 seconds left, and now Oklahoma City makes the decision to foul, giving them the chance to put Jokic back onto the floor. You're up three. The worst case scenario is you give up a three, you're going to get the ball back, and you're tied. Instead, you could have had the situation where they're going to be on the floor without Jokic trying to tie the game. You cannot tell me that Denver is the here's some analytics. If Denver's on the floor and Jokic isn't there, they're worse. Why are you fouling?
It's a fair point, Jeffrey. Denver wins 129-119. All three road teams win. They're up 3-0. 360-plus win teams have won. Never before, by the way, has semifinals opened with four straight road teams winning. That could happen tonight when the Warriors play the T-Wolves. All right, we'll talk more about this with Chris Harrington straight up 10 o'clock. We got Fish on Friday. On Tuesday, a tariff-free, he said, tariff-free episode in the second hour as well. We're going to take a break, come back, play Believe It or Not. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM. Oh, let me tell you, you weren't here last week when Sam got his hole-in-one. Did you hear about the hole-in-one?
He texted me.
Of course he did.
I mean, I respect
you. Are you familiar with the hole?
I am. I also told him make sure he saved the scorecard and the golf ball and take that bad boy to the frame corner.
That's what he did. Took him to the frame corner. I wondered, do you also do a, is that what you have framed? Do you have the, it's just those two things. There's no photo.
There's no photo because it was pre-camera and I hit mine. But also, it was still back in the day.
You have yours framed?
When the commercial appeal still ran holes in one in the air.
A little tagline. Yeah. Do you have yours framed?
I do.
Where is it?
It is in upstairs, in where our TV room is.
Well, that's where Sam Hardiman headed, right to the frame corner. And if you have a moment, anything in your life that you want commemorated forever, framed beautifully, custom framing is what they do. They've been doing it for 50 years, 5035 Park Avenue. So whatever you have, whether it's photos, whether it's a golf ball, whether it's your grandfather's Arrowhead collection, whatever it is, bring it into the frame corner, and they will make it look beautiful forever. The Frame Corner, framecornermemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's all kinds of moms out there. They all like diamonds. There's stepmoms, there's grandmoms, there's pet moms, there's working moms, there's stay-at-home moms, there's every kind of mom you can possibly imagine. And seriously, they'd all love it if you would make a trip to Robert Irwin Jewelers. Among the things you could get, for example, the diamond paw necklace for a mere $119. How about that? That's fun. The To the Moon gift set, that includes a To the Moon and Back diamond pendant and a 24-carat gold-tipped rose. That's only $199. They got two-carat lab-grown diamond stud earrings, $799 while supplies last. I'll be honest, I got some of those for Claire. She thought they were too big. How about that?
That's a winner.
Yeah, that's a winner. So we got smaller ones. We're understated.
Yes.
But you don't have to be. And on and on and on. Howie's passionate about diamonds, and this would be a great week to honor one of the moms in your life. Free financing, by the way. 12 months, 0% interest, or take up to 60 months to pay. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. The Mother's Day sale is going on at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Five locations are online at rijewelers.com. Let's play Believe It or Not. Hey, Jeffrey, you're sick of the conversation around PJ Hagerty.
No, I don't believe that. I'm not sick. I'm not sick of it.
I'm bored to hell of it.
So, Munz and I were talking yesterday. It, to me, now officially just rhymes with the David Jones instance. In that, although I think I would argue PJ was
even. Dramatically.
Yes, I was
much more of a winning player, is the way you described it.
Yes, yeah. I was never the world's biggest David Jones stan.
Hey, you join his teammates in that regard.
Correct.
Right.
That's true.
Yes.
Of course, there was a lot of teammates who weren't fans of other teammates. Like, to say that was the only schism, I think, would be unfair. But Munns has basically said to him, based on who he's talked to, he's going to working out for NBA teams, and he's basically just. His dream's like, I want to play in the NBA. And he's just waiting for someone to tell him, hey, we'll take you in the second round, whatnot, like, which was kind of what we heard last year with David Jones. Like, in terms of the conversation that consumes every, like, waking breath.
That's what it's, I mean. I'm good. Hitman Hoops, by the way, had the news that things would have to change drastically for Memphis to get back in the mix, that Memphis itself is sort of weary of it and has moved on. And so there you go. But yeah, I'm a little weary of it. They did have the other news though from the University of Memphis, which is that they're going to be playing in the Bahamas this, coming year, Jeffrey, a 4-team event. So November 21st and 22nd, we do not know all the teams. We know that one of them will be Memphis. We knew that one of them will be Wake Forest, and we know one will be Purdue. Your thoughts?
I believe the other rumored target was Texas Tech. I think I'd seen that going around. I mean, to me, like, this is that's a pretty good MTE. Like, Purdue's projected to be at least, if not the number one team in preseason, certainly a top five team. And, like, this sets up for another thing. Wake is always kind of, like, knocking on that bubble door, but that's not a game that's going to kill you. And if you can get Texas Tech, I mean, those are three games that we've talked about, like, with Memphis having so much emphasis on the non-conference schedule, those are three good opportunities.
From the world of college football, you're going to look forward to watching Clemson and Notre Dame play for the next 10 years.
I do not believe that, because I'll look forward to them playing for the next 12 years.
12 years. Are you going to look forward to it? Is that the question?
Yeah, I think it's a fun game. Like,
they just agreed to play for another 12 years. What's the what's happening here, Jeffrey? Because Notre Dame, as I understand it, Notre Dame is in the ACC in everything except for football, and they play 5 games a year against ACC teams.
Correct, with a rotating schedule. Because every ACC team obviously wants the Notre Dame.
Everyone wants Notre Dame, yeah.
So part of the trying to keep Florida State, Clemson happy was the ACC agreed to go to the uneven revenue distribution, which will largely be focused on television ratings, performance, whatnot, but key on television ratings. And this seems to be one of the driving indicators for Clemson, which is, if we get this Notre Dame game every single year, this is going to, you know, boost our ratings.
And so you don't, they're no longer going to have to play everybody.
Correct.
They're going to play who they want.
Correct.
This is another example of just the rich deciding to.
Correct. According to Brandon Marcello of CBS Sports,
with the rich,
the Tigers will count as one of 5 ACC schools that the Fighting Irish will play on an annual basis, and Notre Dame also intends on playing Florida State and Miami more often.
All of this stuff, the payment to athletes, the uncertainty around NIL, the constantly changing rosters, the rich getting richer, the divide between the rich and poor, all of this is going to ultimately hurt the interest in college sports. Very clearly hasn't, right?
Right. So the question, though, is will there be a decaying? So
I get emails all the time
yeah.
or texts from people like, I'm sick of this. I hate college sports now. It's ruined my lifelong love of college sports. Anytime someone enters the portal after they've been there for 3 months or they've been there for a year or some whatever else, I hear this all the time. It's the anecdotal evidence I get from people saying, this is sickening me. I'm sick of it, whatever else. You saw that with the Nico stuff. You see that around the PJ Haggerty stuff. Some of it's just based on how much they make that seems to bother people. More of it, I think, is because of the instability.
Yeah, I think it's less about the money.
I don't think it's about the money.
I think it's
that we hear about the money all the time because of the instability.
Correct.
Right? And no,
I think what bothers people about the money is not the guys getting paid. It's when you hear, well, this school, Like, we think we've got
this
good.
And this school offered this and whatever else.
Well, no, it's, I think this school's just buying teams and, like, we can't compete.
If we had to hear about Jokic's money every day and whether he might 100% stay in Denver or leave Denver, you'd feel – but instead, we just watch him play because he's great. I don't even actually know off the top of my head what he makes.
I assume it's a super
And he makes more than any college player. So I don't think it's the amount of money. But here's the question. You hear that anecdotally. Will it ever actually have an impact on our appetite for college sports? Will it diminish our appetite for college sports?
I'm going to say no, because what I do think is actually happening, like when you separate all the hot button issues and you actually just like, okay, where are the pieces on the board moving? I think what it's clearly becoming is a television product. And the one thing we will just always have an appetite for, because it goes to the point that you just said, when you look at ratings and stuff, we can be really disgusted with the sport 6 days a week, but on Saturdays, our happy asses are watching.
Well, I guess, so then that would ask two questions. Okay, I fundamentally agree with that, but then there's two questions. One is, does it hurt the in-person product at the signature schools? In other words, will it ever, because you talk about it being will it ever impact attendance at Ole Miss and Tennessee and anywhere basically throughout the SEC?
I think it's going to be these massive like swings and extremes. So if you're a school that either has bought your way into it to competing this year, everybody's going to show up. And if you're a team that has convinced everyone, like, all right, well, the portal's looking good. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Did Mississippi State, for example, suffer in attendance last year at the stadium?
Yeah,
because I do think that's what will happen, is that, forget the SEC for a moment, I don't think it's going to hurt TV ratings, because people are going to want to watch Alabama and Ohio State and whatever play football. They just are, and they're going to want to watch it on TV. Will it hurt actual in-person attendance at every school outside the SEC, you know, and the Big Ten, the schools that aren't in the mix?
Yep.
And at the schools ultimately in those conferences who are non-competitive?
So I think I'm going to say no, and here's the reason why. What I think is, as it continues to become a television product, you're going to see the same thing that happens in the NFL, where these coaches can kick and scream about how hard their schedule is. They're going to play nine game conference schedules. You're not like the FBS or the FCS games probably going away. So what's going to draw people in is the amount of good games.
But Memphis isn't playing good games anymore. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
I'm saying
you're talking more of
I'm saying it's going to hurt attendance not at the great schools playing good games. I think it's going to hurt attendance at the Memphises of the world.
Yeah, I think we're starting to see this is like the bifurcation of it.
The Baltimore Ravens made a football decision when they decided to part ways with kicker Justin Tucker.
Am I speaking to Judge Calkins or am I speaking to Jeff Calkins?
You're speaking honestly, man. You're just speaking honestly.
I believe the football helped make the... I do think the football helped make the personal decision a football decision. I think if Justin Tucker was fine last year, but he was clearly, compared to his standard, he was well below it. And I think the fact that Justin Tucker's not special anymore allows you to sit there and make a quote-unquote football decision. However, I think the football decision was based on legal precedent.
Yeah, I think pretty clearly 16 massage therapists have accused him of inappropriate behavior. And the NFL is, quote-unquote, still negotiating. And so this is we've talked about this all the time. Are you worth the trouble?
Right.
You know, and his football, if he were an all-world kicker, is it still possible that the NFL could conclude he's guilty and suspend him? Right?
Sure.
Yes. But I don't think you move on from a weapon who is an all-world kicker until that happens. Right?
Yep.
You just say, oh, you know what you say? Here's what you say. You say, we're going to let the process. We believe in innocent
until proven guilty.
We'll let the process
play out.
Whatever. We're fully cooperating, and whatever they can conclude is fine with us. But we're not going to prejudge and blah, 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 blah. That's what you do if you have a great player in your hands.
Yes.
If you have a player who's no longer a great player, then you let go of him and call it a football decision. You have, before in your life, called something sick. Yes, I have.
You've used the word sick.
Yes.
You have. Let me, here's another one. You've used the word gnarly.
Sarcastically only when I got to college okay. and people said it.
Okay. You've used the word sweet.
Yes.
Okay. If this is all, this is, of course, a Ron Olson special.
Yes, right? Of course.
Of course it is. And this is slang words that are outdated. That once were. And let's just see if you've used these ever. And if, okay, the question, if you object that it's not outdated, tell me, okay? Yeah. I'll go through the word.
Yeah, and so far.
No, that's not outdated. Yeah. I can still use that with a straight face, yeah. right? And then tell me ones you've never used, okay? Right. Gnarly.
Again, only use it sarcastically with
it's
surf.
It's definitely outdated, right?
Yeah, although
we'll
I don't
just do that.
So, I don't know surfer culture enough.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so let's just deal with these. Do we agree that all of these are outdated and you should not say them anymore? Okay, gnarly, stoked, sweet. Can you say sweet? I think you can say sweet.
People say
I don't think it's outdated.
Sweet, man.
Sweet. I think you could still say that. But I'm 63. What the hell do I know? Okay, ready, man. Here's the next one. Word.
Yeah, that's definitely
Someone says,
outdated. That's
out, you can't say word.
Can't say word. It's just super outdated.
Sick. I never liked it much myself. Anyway,
it has to be in a proper context. When you see someone that is just, it happens a lot in golf. Like when you see like a horribly unfortunate break, you're like, that is sick.
Instead of goodbye, peace.
That's been outdated.
Okay.
For 40 years,
dude. Can you say dude?
I mean, I obviously do.
I think you still say dude. I don't think it's outdated. I never knew this was a thing.
I think dude is dude is the American form
tight.
Of mate.
Tight. When would you use tight?
So tight, that's pretty tight, man. That was.
It's pretty tight means what?
Like, it's cool.
Good?
It's good. It's a positive.
Okie dokie.
Again, 50 years outdated, maybe?
I'll say okie dokie. Yeah, I 50 years outdated.
I think some of these you can say if
gas.
You're acknowledged.
Cooking with gas.
Oh, come on. That's still in.
Really?
Oh,
I think it's totally outdated.
Oh, yeah. Cooking with gas, baby.
Can you dig it? No, that's like Sucka. 60s. Can you dig it? You can't say too. Can you dig it?
Well, that's a shout out Booker T.
How about the bomb?
I mean, that's. I don't think that's been.
Hella. Never liked hella.
These
knees.
That's I mean, some of these you can.
Some of these are. Like,
some of these
are
all
from different
like,
eras.
If you like. Or acknowledging
right,
it's
that it's
hokey.
Really hokey when you do it.
Right.
Okie dokie. Yeah, yeah. You don't say, no one okie dokie says it seriously anymore. Okay. Bogus.
I don't know if outdated is the right word, but it's
bogus. That's bogus, man.
Yeah. I don't think it's outdated.
I don't think it's outdated. Whippersnapper is like bee's knees and okie dokie.
Yeah.
You know?
Young whippersnapper.
Yeah. Home slice. What's that? How do you use that anyway? I don't use home slice.
My home slice.
So your friend?
Yeah,
I think it's like your friend. Okay. Yeah. Smell you later? No, I'm not even going to move on from that one. I'm not going to distinguish it. Oh, snap.
So smell you later, I think, was a Bart Simpson.
Oh, was it? Oh, snap.
Probably outdated.
Fetch. What's that? When do you use that?
You're trying to make fetch happen, Jeff.
What's that mean? Help me.
I don't know. We've been trying to make fetch happen since 2003. It got popularized in Mean Girls.
And movie. What does fetch happen? What does that mean?
It's so fetch. Like...
What does like, fetch mean?
It's like the same thing. It's
Help
cool.
Me here.
It's like it's
so great.
Yeah,
tight. It's like
yeah,
tight, fetch,
yeah, exactly.
All these things. Bee's knees.
Yeah.
That all means the same
but
thing.
We've told Gretchen to stop trying to make fetch happen.
What is that? What is that sentence? Is that from Mean Girls?
It's from Mean Girls.
Okay. Totes.
Outdated, but again, same thing. If you're like using it corny, like it,
golly is again whippersnapper, bee's knees, okie dokie. This is my era. Noice.
That's probably outdated.
Geez Louise, that's again, same thing, right? And and I think that's it. That's it. How'd you fare?
I would say probably I use about 25% of those.
All right, last one. The Grizzlies will have a press conference at some point to introduce Tuomas Isolo as the new head coach.
I think I believe it because... Has anyone in the NBA ever had a press conference not to introduce?
Well, you wouldn't to not introduce, but you could just have a draft press conference. You could just go on with business as usual.
I need to, is there an NBA? I would think the NBA would require you to introduce a head coach.
I don't understand why. Like, why wouldn't they have it already? Why wouldn't they have it today, tomorrow? Like, next week's the
I mean, the only thing I can think of is
he's back in Finland
schedules. But like, I would think he would be willing to take.
Are they embarrassed of this? Is that why it's a Friday news dump?
I told you, like, I don't know if it's embarrassed or if it's like the we just don't want to talk about it. We did it. We're moving on.
It's just a little.
It's weird.
It's a little weird. It's like, you know, you move on, hope no one needs a little crop dusting, and you help you just
right,
move
exactly.
on to the next
like,
room.
Right.
And particularly given, they should know the results of the Jeff Gawkins Show poll.
Correct.
Because we did a Jeff Gawkins Show poll yesterday on whether we, I think the question was, what was the question?
Whether or not you support the Grizzlies hiring of Tuomas Iasalo.
And we predicted that there would be, that the no's would carry the day. I predicted it. Convincingly, and I think you also believe that no's would carry the day.
It started that way.
But in the end...
It did not go that way.
In the end, what were the results of the Jeff Gawkins Show poll?
With 340 votes tallied, 56.5% of fans said yes, they support the hiring of... 43.5%.
So the coast is clear. They can absolutely have a press conference to introduce Tuomas Iasalo, don't you think? I think it's the coast is clear. People approve.
Yeah, I do
generally
think...
Generally speaking.
Yeah, I think, though, because we made it binary, yes or no, I think people are inclined...
There's much more ambivalence.
Right.
Yes, much more ambivalent. Don't care.
But there's not, like...
Know.
But
it, right.
What is obvious is there's not, like, this just haunting, you know, like, just...
Enraged.
Rated,
people
yes.
aren't enraged like they are with my Buffalo Sabres that they keep Kevin Adams as GM or haven't fired him yet. Okay.
Why did they do that again? I thought that was the whole point of the season, was you get rid of him.
They did.
You were going to
get unbelievable. Just unbelievable. The guy has not been fired yet. Okay, we got Chris Harrington coming up in the next segment. Then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. If you are selling your house, however, I want to tell you you should call Josh Heisa. It's a good time for house sales, by the way. People in spring, they're thinking about where they're going to be living next fall when school commences. This is a time when basically everybody moves. From one neighborhood to another, from one town to another, this is the moment. So if you're thinking of doing that, call Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147. Flexible fees, no upfront costs, let you out of your contract at any time. Listen, just meet with Josh and you'll see what I see. Whatever, just you meet with several different realtors if you want, but meet with Josh Heisa, make sure he's one, and I think you'll be persuaded once you do. Among the other things, Josh will, if this is the way you want to go, he will make a guaranteed cash offer at full market value for your home. Not one of these sort of robocalls that you get, you know, you interested in selling your home? I live in Albuquerque and whatever, I'll give you a lowball offer for your home. No, Josh Heisa, full market cash offer for your home. Again, it's Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147. Chris Harrington, when we return, Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.